right. Audible. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then Paul ends by saying, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings upon this place in which you've led me, Father. And I pray that you would lead your people. We trust you, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This is one of the most important passages in all of the Holy Scriptures. In it, St. Paul speaks of a supernatural strength and a necessary protection against Satan. He is the common enemy of every Christian. He is the common and constant enemy of every Christian. See, sometimes we have enemies in the world, and they may be a common enemy, but you may go a day or two without seeing your common adversary in the world. Not this one. As soon as God delivered you from Satan's kingdom, from the power of darkness, and translated you into the kingdom of God's dear Son, you entered into a spiritual war, in which you went from the cradle of the devil to his crosshairs. From the cradle of the god of this world, whom you used to follow, who captivated you, whom you followed. But now your former god is now your adversary. Now that you are in this spiritual war, it is essential for you to be equipped with spiritual armor from God. That is, if you would stand in the evil day. You hear what Paul says in verse 13. He says, "And having done all, to stand." Simply to stand. There's much written in the Holy Scriptures about your adversary. Notice I say your adversary, because he is your adversary. And if I was turned around, he's mine too. He's not everyone's adversary, he's your adversary. Though he is everyone's. But you must look at him as he is depicted in the Word of God. You are not to be ignorant of his devices and his ways. The greatest of strategic military leaders will tell you that it's best tactically to know your enemy. Great military generals, captains, leaders, they study their enemies, so that they can know their wiles. Wiles is the biblical word for the Greek word methods. Methodia is the Greek word We are not ignorant of his methods. We must not be ignorant of his methods. We must know his wiles, and we must understand from the Holy Scriptures that he is a constant enemy, again, that never rests. And as the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we are not to give him the advantage. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says that. Don't give him the high ground. We need to make sure we don't do that. It was a specific instance there in regard to forgiveness, but still stands. We must not give him the advantage. As you are not to be ignorant of his wiles and his devices, so Christian, you are not to be ignorant of the defensive spiritual armor that God has provided for you to successfully resist your adversary. You must be experienced in putting it on, because Paul says, put it on. You are to do that. It's an imperative command. It's a present imperative. You are to always be putting it on. He says, put it on. He says, take it unto you. Verses 11 and 13. So you are to be experienced in putting it on, skilled in the use of it, biblically skilled in the use of it. It is spiritual armor. You're not going to go grab some tin or some steel or some iron and put it on. It's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about something much stronger than earthly steel. He's talking about spiritual armor. When we put on the whole armor of God, only then are we strong in the Lord. Only then are we strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you're going to endure unto the end and be victorious in your Christian life, you are going to need a strength that comes from outside of yourself. And this is what Paul's talking about here. You're going to need a strength that comes from outside of you, an alien strength. And you'll need a spiritual armor that you do not naturally possess. Understand, beloved of God, you cannot stand against Satan in your own strength. You can't do it. The world and even some in the realm of Christianity will falsely trust in humanistic and positive mantras in which they'll say things to inspire themselves and motivate themselves like, we got this. You can do this. No, you can't do this. We must understand, Christian, you must understand in regard to resisting the devil, you don't got this by yourself. You must have a strength that comes from outside of you if you would resist the devil. The problem with us is, even as Christians, we are so often hardwired to be self-confident and to be confident in our own abilities. We think we can do things without God. You may go apace doing some things without God. That's not what you should be doing. We walk by faith and not by sight, but you won't go far at all in this one. You must know, Christian, that you cannot resist the devil apart from faith in God, apart from his strength and might. Your faith must take hold of these truths. You cannot resist the devil by the power of your will. You may get angry at him and you may say, I'm not going to do that. But if you do not trust the Lord for his strength, he will steamroll you. If you would resist the devil, it must be by the steadfastness of your faith in Christ and in his holy word. The Lord Jesus, our great example, is our great example. When he was in the temptation, he answered the devil all three times, "It is written." The devil tempted him again. He says, "It is written again." And so, beloved, we must take a lesson from our Lord. Beloved, when we walk in faith, when we walk by faith, only then will we be made strong for this warfare. Only then will you and I be given that alien strength to resist him. And beloved, we need to be mindful of this armor. We've talked about this before, but this is a place where we need to go often because we do have a common enemy. Look at James chapter 4, James 4 and verse 6. Actually, start from verse 5. James says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." That is key to you resisting the devil, is submission to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you're full of pride, God resists the proud. If you're full of pride, Satan's got all kind of handles to grab a hold of you with. You're giving him the high ground. You're giving him the advantage. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why does he flee? We'll see in the next passage, I think more clearly. But notice, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you know these passages. Peter tells us that our adversary is a constant adversary. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Notice how humility is, again, is the subject, as the preface for our resisting the devil. Again, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," which is the only hand that can squash Satan. "So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It's the only way, it's the only safe way for you to be lifted up. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant." You want to know what really being woke is? This is it. You hear people talking about being woke in the world? No, no, you need to be spiritually woke, Christians, and it's against the wicked one. This is it right here. "Be sober, be vigilant." And there's those words, because your adversary, the devil, "as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Who's he going to look for? Who's he going to look for? The proud, the arrogant, the self-confident. Who's he going to make you look at? Principally and probably one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants to do it in here. This is where he wants to make his biggest bang. He wants somebody to... He wants there to be strife, schism. That's what he wants. Beloved, the scriptures teach us to resist him. Notice, steadfast in the faith. "Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so you see what is the preface for our resisting of Satan is humility. You could see the doctrine of mortification loud and clear here. We need to put off ourselves. We need to submit ourselves to our God. Now back to Ephesians. Paul says, "Now be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, you've heard this before, but some of you may not have. Those two words, "be strong," it's the Greek word endunomo. It means to empower, to enable, to strengthen, and to make strong. Be strong. Be strong is a verb. It's an action word spoken in the present tense, meaning we are commanded to be continually strong. Now listen, it's an easy mistake for you to think, "I need to be strong." No, you don't need to be strong. You need to believe God to be strong in you. You need to believe him for his strength in you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The command is spoken in what's called the passive voice. What that means is you are not the active source of that strength. It ain't you being strong. It's God being strong in you. It's like 2 Corinthians 12 when Paul said, my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in your weakness. And so, beloved, this is not your strength. When he says be strong, the key words are in the Lord. Fact of the matter is we are to always be strong in the Lord. This is a present active term. So understand that you are made strong by an outside source of strength, by faith. If you are going to be strong in the Lord, it will be because the Lord is your strength. So be strong, therefore, means be strengthened, be enabled, be empowered by God, because that's the only way you're going to resist Satan. And how do you do that? Resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5:8 said that. That word faith means truth, literally. In other words, faith in his holy word, faith in the power of this word. That's what he's talking about. We don't just read a dead letter. We read words of power. The Spirit of God applies those. Your part is to believe these words. That's what your faith must take hold of. This is the Christian life, your faith taking hold of the words of truth and believing them. God, you said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So, Lord, I believe that you will be my strength. And now, Father, you must give me wisdom on how to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. I can tell you that the more of his word that is written on your heart, the less you'll sin against God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The more of his word that you have in you, the more you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's the shield of what? Faith. Faith in what? Not just faith in faith, faith in his holy word. And so, beloved, we need the truth of God's word. So how do you do this? How do you be strong in the Lord? Again, this is where you must see the necessity of your faith in Christ and your obedience to his word. You cannot be strong in the Lord without being strong in the word, without believing the truth of God's word. This is how God has promised to enable you and empower you and to give you his strength to resist the devil and to stand against him. That's a promise. Resist him and he will flee. Now we need to believe that. Look, listen, God gave you faith when he saved you. Faith is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. God gave it to you. You've obtained like precious faith, Peter says. It's a gift. God gave it to you. God expects you to use it. Now it's your faith. Your faith to use against your adversary. To stand. Remember, we walk. We don't war. We walk by faith. We war by faith, not by sight. So we walk and war by faith, not by sight. One of Satan's primary methods and wiles against you is to get you to war after the flesh and in the flesh. That's what he wants you to do. Listen, he'll fire his darts into your mind, and his darts will be suggestive and influences. Satan's darts will, he'll fire thoughts into your mind, wicked thoughts, to think about a brother or sister in Christ, or simply to get you to not believe Christ, or to not believe his word, or to sin against God. That's when those thoughts come into your mind. He'll influence you to be angry or a brother or sister in Christ for some small issue or something you've heard or something they said. Or Satan will use you. He'll use Christians. Don't think he won't. If you don't think he won't, go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. This is right after Peter's great confession, when Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, you're the Christ of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Just a few minutes later, from that time forth, Jesus, verse 21, began to show his disciples, 16:21, how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Satan used Peter. The Lord rebuked Satan in the person of Peter. Brethren, we must be so careful. That's why we must be strong in the Lord. Who are our enemies? Verse 12, if you're back in Ephesians 6. Verse 12, Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We just said that. Now, Satan wants you to wrestle against flesh and blood. He wants you to wrestle against your brother or sister. He wants you to get angry at your brother or sister in Christ. That's what he wants. He wants there to be strife. He wants there to be schisms. He wants you to be arrogant. But that's not the fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So not against flesh and blood, but a four-pronged attack. You see that? Against. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10, look there. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul spoke to the Corinthians in verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. This is part of being sober and vigilant, beloved. You have to know when a fiery dart has been shot into your mind. You have to know your enemy. Notice imaginations, casting down reasonings, imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience in you when your obedience is fulfilled. Never forget, beloved, who is behind the evil thought that you're having. You remember Paul taught us about idols in Corinthians? You remember he said, the idol's nothing. Look behind the idol. What that person, your brother or sister, said to you, wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember who's behind it. Satan is. Remember who's behind it. And so, we won't get any further than this, but Paul, in Ephesians 6:11 and 6:13, he says, therefore now, if you would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. These are imperative commands from the word of God to equip yourself. And listen, you need to equip yourself every single day. You might think, I got so much to think about. Equip yourself with the word of God, because that's what it comes down to. Equip yourself by prayer. You could see he prayed in verse 18 of Ephesians 6. Equip yourselves, beloved, with this spiritual armor that God has provided for you. Verse 11 goes on to say, equip yourself, put it on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. You must put it on. Verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? Every. Listen, don't give up the ground. Don't retreat and yield to Satan's lies, but stand by faith upon the truths of God's word. Verse 13, in the last part, Paul says, and having done all to stand, having done all, have you done all on this day that you could to equip and arm yourself so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day? Have you done all? Listen, I'll be quite honest with you. There are days where I feel like that he's knocked me down and he's got the best of me. Beloved, those days regrettably will happen, but you will not be utterly cast down. You've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. That's why you're under attack. And listen, as much as you have an adversary, God will use your adversary for your own sanctification. He will. He will not let him overcome you. You remember in the book of Job, Job depicts him as a never-resting enemy. God says, where are you? Where have you been? Oh, walking up and down the earth, walking up and down, checking things out. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Why? You might say, why did you do that, Lord? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? God knows what he's doing. There's none like him in the earth. God moved the hedge to put his foot on Satan's neck a little harder. He let him have his stuff, his children. His wife said, curse God and die. But the latter end of Job was better. Never forget that God knows what he's doing. If you're under attack, God knows you're under attack. You trust the Lord. And listen, that's hard. You might say, that's hard for you to say, I'm under attack. Well, the same afflictions are accomplished in all of your brethren that are in the world. There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Don't forget the next words, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be overcome, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape. God is faithful, brethren. The devil's going to lose. He's lost already. But beloved, he is going to come after you. He is your adversary. So do all that you can this day so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Set your affection on things above. Fill your heart and mind with the word. Were you mindful today? Are you mindful that you are being constantly hunted by the devil? It kind of reminds you of Saul and David, right? David was constantly hunted. Saul hunted him relentlessly. Well, that's how Satan's going to hunt you. So, beloved, remember, though, resist him steadfast in the faith. No one, not even him, can separate you from the love of Christ. You're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can't be separated from the love of God. So remember these things. You need to go forth into every day, into this earthly life by faith, not in your own strength and confidence, but in the strength and might of the Lord. That's how we set ourselves up to give him the high ground when we go into the day. I got this. No, you need to go into the day. I don't got this. This is the Lord's. I need to go into the day by faith, trusting the Lord. Listen, if you're going to endure unto the end and be victorious in your Christian life, you're going to need to be armed with a strength that comes from outside of yourself, that is the strength of God, and with a spiritual armor that you do not naturally possess. And then this is one of Satan's primary methods and wiles, remember this, to get you to war after the flesh. Remember, we walk in war by faith. Remember, our enemies are not earthly. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Finally, did you do all on this day to equip and arm yourself so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day? I pray so. Amen, brethren. We'll finish next time with the pieces of armor. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings. I pray that you would help us. Father, help us to be keenly aware that we are no match for the wicked one. But Father, we want to enter every day, every moment of life, every thought in the strength of thee, O God. We pray that you would help us to be strong in the Lord in the power of your might. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I might say, wherewithal shall a young Christian resist the devil? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Help us, Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be strong in thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we go to prayer,